Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
Oh my God, we made it back for another show.
Yeah!
That's one of the quickest turnarounds between shows we've had. So we started a little late and get going.
Yeah.
If you missed last show, it had a little bit of everything. A redneck fight with a chair, a woman pooping on the floor and throwing it. That's pretty much everything, isn't it?
That's everything you need to know. If you haven't looked it up, look, Tim Hortons, look it up. Tim Hortons.
Go back and listen. Go back and listen to Wednesday's show.
Oh, my gosh.
It's totally worth it for you. Just want to, before we get any further down the road in the show, I want to remind everybody that if you want to help support the show and you shop on Amazon, please go ahead and click through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It helps support the show and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So please and thank you for that. All right, let's move on. Whew, the royal wedding. I don't want to spend a lot of time on the royal wedding because, it was a lot. It was a lot. Leslie recorded the wedding and fast forwarded through most of it, and I hung out on the couch while she was watching it. Kareem, did you get to watch any of it?
I saw a little bit of the bishop, the black bishop,
Bishop Curry,
and I think I saw a little bit of it because. So the Sacramento Black Book Fair is coming up in June.
Yes.
Actually next week. So I had to do a training for that, that morning. So I only caught a little bit of it before I left for that. And then I actually performed a wedding myself that evening. So I wasn't in front of the television a lot on Saturday, but I saw enough to know that I was not going to take as much time at my wedding as he did at his.
I believe it was 17 minutes. He yes. went.
I think that was our whole wedding was 17 minutes.
Right? Right? Jason, did you get a chance to catch any of it? Did you care to?
Nope.
What about the wife?
Nope.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yep. We're Americans.
Oh, I didn't. Well, so was the bride. The Prince Harry, who was 33, married Meghan Markle, who was 36, in front of millions watching across the world. Bishop Michael Bruce Curry from Chicago preached on the redemptive power of love. I will not lie, at a certain point during his speech about the power of love, I myself started thinking about the power of love and, you know, quoting the power of love.
It's a curious thing.
With the power yeah, of soul. Anything is possible.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's a different one. God damn it. I hate it when I...
You going to play Luther's Love Power?
No.
No, he shouldn't.
No.
There's
no, I'm much, white. I'm white,
there's a much wider
I mean, I know the song. The Power of Love.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He did go to the white one.
Of course I went to the white one. I'm aware of Luther.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is...
This lent itself much better to sort of mocking the sermon as it was going on live or on tape.
Power of love, it's a curious thing. And the man sing.
He is the first African-American presiding bishop of the American Episcopal Church. He encouraged all receiving his message to discover the power of love to make of this old world a new world. For many, his impassioned sermon punctuated with themes of politics, social justice, civil rights, and quotes from Martin Luther King Jr. Black people love to quote.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I just make shit up as I go. I find that...
So, mind you, the song that was playing in my mind during my wedding was "It's a Nice Day for a White Wedding," Billy Idol.
There you go. Well, that's better than a red wedding.
Ooh, definitely.
If you're looking for it, NPR.org has the full transcript of the Power of Love sermon. Let me just pop in somewhere in the middle. I'm talking about power, real power, power to change the world. If you don't believe me, well, there were some old slaves in America's antebellum South, and I'm like, oh boy, here we go. By the way, the British people were all right. We're part of that whole slave thing.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
I'm like, hold on, what's going on? Who explained the dynamic power of love and why it has the power to transform? They explained it this way. They sang a spiritual, even in the midst of their captivity. It's one that says there is a balm in Gilead, a healing balm, something that can make things right. He then repeated that line. Scrolling. Fire, to a great extent, made human civilization possible. And I'm like, what the fuck? He's talking about fire now.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday in a Baptist church in the South. That's what y'all got a taste of.
Right? And then he went to, anybody get here in a car today? An automobile? Nod your heads if you did. I know there were some carriages, but those of us who came in cars, fire. The controlled harness fire made that possible. And I know the Bible says, and I believe it, that Jesus walked on the water. But I have to tell you, I did not walk across the Atlantic Ocean to get here.
He's just being silly now.
And I'm like, at one point, he turns to them. By the way, not halfway through this. Turns to the bride and groom and says, I'm going to wrap this up because we're going to get you married. And then he went on to go on for at least another 9 minutes.
That's him wrapping it up.
Okay. Okay. So this is what happens on Sundays. I'm not going to keep you long.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's look, you done been through the rest of church and where you're at is the preacher preaching this sermon. And the first thing he say, if he says I'm not going to keep you long, that means you there for another 45 minutes and you done already been there for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And that's 45 minutes at the minimum.
Because if he wasn't going to keep you long,
he
wouldn't have said anything about it.
Oh, my God.
He just kept you 5 minutes long.
And the queen dressed as a highlighter for the wedding. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Oh. All right, I'm done.
So the queen got mighty pissed, huh?
I don't think she was pissed. I mean, I think she's got resting queen face.
Well, yeah.
So, again, she sat through worse.
Yeah.
She sat through worse than that. I don't think she quite knew what to make of it. And Prince Philip, who is he's 96. He retired from making public appearances, I think, 2 years ago now.
She should have retired from this.
He looked so befuddled as to what was going on. He's like, what?
So,
by the way, there was also something that was noted. There were a fair number of African American women, and they were all wearing the same color dress.
Hmm. Huh.
Including Oprah. By the way, Oprah got there really early.
Well, she's not going to be late.
She was like one of the first ones going into where the ceremony was.
So the bishop negrified the wedding.
Well, I mean, I think having a bride who is African American, or at least half African American. Probably added to the. I saw Idris Elba. I'm like, oh.
Oh yeah, he DJ'd the reception.
Okay, well sure.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're gonna have
yeah.
Idris Elba DJ your
right,
I mean, go for it.
Sure. I mean, yeah. he only had a small part in the Avengers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's how he got his start, was as a DJ.
Oh, Paris yeah. Hilton too.
Yeah.
something else they have in common. Yeah, that and the love of glow night vision cameras. all right, so moving on from the bishop to something a little less godly, unless you ask them. The Republican gubernatorial primary in Georgia. Yes, Jason.
No, nothing.
They are trying to out-conservative themselves. There are two candidates, both currently elected officials. Keep that in mind. have engaged in escalating competition who can personally round up and remove more immigrants from the state. Seriously, it's like they're campaigning to be the next ICE agent. The first one we'll play the ad for is a gentleman named Brian Kemp, who wants to protect the Second Amendment. Shocker.
I'm Brian Kemp. I'm so conservative. I blow up government spending. I own guns that no one's taken away. My chainsaw's ready to rip up some regulations. I got a big truck, just in case I need to round up criminal illegals and take them home myself. Yep, I just said that. I'm Brian Kemp. If you want a politically incorrect conservative, that's me.
Congratulations. Okay.
Kemp.
Okay. But, not to be outdone, is State Senator Michael Williams, who is running also in the GOP primary. He has a bus.
Hi, I'm Michael Williams, and boy, do we have some exciting news to you. We have our bus tour ready to go, but it's not going to be one of those pansy political bus tours. We've got the deportation bus. That's right, you heard me, the Michael Williams deportation bus. If you want to find out where we're coming, go to deportationbus.com. We're going to implement my 287G deportation plan that's going to fill this bus with illegals to send them back to where they came from. We're not just going to track them and watch them roam around our state. We're going to put them on this bus and send them home. Go to deportationbus.com and find out where we're going to be. See you there.
Get the fuck out of here.
No.
If you're as tired as I am with politicians that do nothing but talk, and you want to see this bus filled with illegals, vote Michael Williams on May 22nd.
Okay. So the back of his bus says, on the back windows, the ones on the outside, it says, stay back 1,000 feet. In the middle one, it says, danger, murderers, rapists, kidnappers, child molesters, and other criminals on board.
He's and, all of them.
And in the bottom window of the door of the on the back of the bus, it says, follow me to Mexico. Welcome to Georgia.
That's why their crops died in the field a couple years ago. Because they're dumbasses like this.
As we record this, Georgia is deciding which one of these two wins the primary.
So that means Georgia's going to have a black female governor.
Hold on. There's more. There's more. There's Casey Cagle.
Politicians like to talk, but leaders get things done. Criminal illegal aliens are spreading across the country. Liberal politicians in sanctuary cities are shielding them, making it possible for them to terrorize us on our streets. That is why I led the fight for one of the toughest crackdowns on illegal immigration in the nation that outlawed and defunded sanctuary cities. And I am holding them accountable because enough is enough.
Conservative Casey Cagle leads.
You know, I just don't get it. All these guys are upset about these sanctuary cities, right?
Sure.
But shouldn't they be happy that there's a place where these Mexicans can go and have sanctuary so they're not in their towns?
Well, no, because they're afraid that someplace like Atlanta will get the bright idea of becoming a sanctuary city. That's what they're afraid of.
Yeah, but
what they're really afraid of is that
brown people?
That Becky's going to want Chewy. That's what they're really afraid of.
Stacey Abrams, who is a African American woman, won the Democratic primary in Georgia. So that is, let me take a quick look to see who did well on the other side. Let's see. Oh, Casey Cagle will advance with Georgia's Secretary of State Brian Kemp to a Republican primary runoff.
Casey Cagle,
who Casey Cagle, and so the guy with the bus did not advance, but he's got that sweet bus.
Oh, man, what's he gonna do with his bus now?
He go into business for himself. Meanwhile, you know the old term, those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones? Well, they've built one in Florida. Or they're going to. It's an all-glass house in Fort Lauderdale's posh Las Olas Iles neighborhood. It's designed by Rex Nichols Architects. But could anything less Hispanic-sounding than Rex Nichols? It's an open floor plan with a floor-to-ceiling unobstructed views of the back garden, a wraparound L-shaped pool, jacuzzi and waterfall accessible through exposed sliding glass doors at the back of the home. The last house at the site had been demolished, and the new home is expected to start rising in September. Once it's completed in 2019, the 4,000-square-foot home could be listed for $3.5 million worth of glass.
I hope somebody doesn't throw a rock at you.
Right?
Hurricanes.
The walls are literally all glass. That includes all living areas, such as the master suite, library, and bathrooms. What about privacy? Well, the pool will wrap around the master bedroom and bathroom, and the landscaping will be a buffer. Landscaping and an art wall near the master bathroom is also intended to keep neighbors' eyes out. I don't want glass walls on my shitter.
Me either.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I do my naughty stuff.
Is it? Well, that's right. You have a very small home. Well, if you had a bigger home, you might be able to. Is it like Wonder Woman's invisible jet where the floors are also glass?
And you say, ooh.
You look, honey, I see you're up on the second floor. Nice skirt.
Nice underwear.
Nice underwear. All right, so we've talked about lawmakers in different states. Well,
support for NPR and the following message come from the American Petroleum Institute. America's natural gas and oil industry is committed to creating a better future through innovative technologies to reduce emissions. Text ENERGY to 73075 to learn more.
Good morning, I'm David Green. These are tense political times, but really? In Louisiana, two state lawmakers disagreed over a bill and they took their fight to the bar. Representative Stuart Bishop told USA Today his fellow lawmaker punched him several times. Now, the men, who are evidently friends, have apologized. They're lucky they had left the bar by the time police arrived, or it would have been less funny when, as a prank, Bishop's colleagues plastered his desk with yellow crime tape. It's Morning Edition.
Ha ha ha! Dicks. Just saying.
I remember when I lived with the Marines... back in pre-9/11.
Sure.
I live with these Marines, and there's one night we were all drinking, and these two guys that were, like, pretty much best friends, like, got into a fist fight. We had a keg that we were trying to drink.
It happens.
And we drank, like a handle or two. Like, we were all fucking way hammered. 151 was out that night for sure. They punched, like... They got into a fight, and one guy punched the other guy in the face and split his tongue, like, down the middle. And, luckily, we were all did. I was doing theater with all these Marines, which was fucking nuts in the first place, right? But there's a woman that was, like, head of, like, the med center. Like, she was, and she did stuff at the theater also. So they called her, to have, like, follow them in so they didn't get written up, chapter 16 or some shit like that, for fighting with each other.
Right.
Anyhow, they were best friends the next day, but it's ridiculous. Like, they, broke, like, really hurt one another.
Mm-hmm.
And they're totally fine the next day.
Well, that's what men do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until about the age of 23.
Yeah.
If you do it after the age of 23, then you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what, yeah.
I mean, that was...
You fight and then you're over it.
Yeah.
Well, not in this new world. Yeah. Not in this new world. It's not allowed. Do not do that. Now, I know that's going to sound really weird going into this next story. There's a pro-Trump candidate fundraising off her harassment of a transgender woman at a Denny's. First of all, don't go to Denny's. There's other places you can go eat. Why are you at Denny's? Oh, it's the video is gone. God damn it.
Denny's isn't that bad. It gets a bad rap.
It's not that good either way. She is running to represent California's 44th congressional district, fundraising off a video of her harassing and demeaning a transgender woman using the ladies' room in a Denny's. Prior to the incident, she had a track record of expressing anti-LGBTQ views. Her name is Jasmina Saavedra.
Oh, she's a new convert.
Yeah, she's something. She helped found the Latinos for Trump and the Make America Great Again, Inc. groups, and the Republican Party of Los Angeles County has endorsed her. As reported by the Daily Beast, she harassed a transgendered woman who is using a woman's restroom inside a Denny's. The video, which is now unavailable.
Because they're like...
Thankfully, I watched it. She's just being really shrill and cunty.
So the Supreme Court just ruled in favor of transgenders today.
Good.
Yes.
And I didn't see that come across yet.
Yeah.
That's good.
It is. Right. It is good. So,
because you don't subscribe to the Wall Street Journal.
And that's you know, there's certain things like the ruling that they came out yesterday where I wonder if this fucking Supreme Court still has any sense. But I guess sometimes they do come up with something.
Sometimes they just go on the rule of law and not on political views.
Yesterday wasn't one of those days.
Well, yeah. Well, that was a sad day, right? So the good thing is the concourse from Deadspin has the saddest desperation cocktails ranked. thought that would be good, and there's a lot of them too. So we'll hammer through these pretty quickly.
Can we guess for what we think might be the?
You know, I don't know. This is going to take way too long. The Swole Fashion is number 16.
What is that?
Swole Fashion?
It's an Odwalla protein smoothie and Bacardi.
Get the fuck out of here. These aren't fucking real.
They're sad drinks. The Loco Mosa, which is is orange, Four Loco, and cheap cava.
I drink that.
The Red Hand of Ulster, which is Dad's Irish whiskey and fruit punch Gatorade before a Green Day show. Oh, Becky's problem. And that would be vodka and iced tea mix, just Lipton powder and vodka.
Oh my God. How am I alive still?
Wow. The Rob Marley, which is Johnny Walker and a bunch of the free mango energy drinks that have been dropped off at a college house. Barbicide, which this gentleman already drunk and mixed Fireball with Blue Hawaiian Punch because it was the only non-alcoholic drink that he had. He threw up 5 minutes later.
That sounds horrible.
Oh, Rob Dyrdek's Sweat. Basically, it's Mountain Dew and Bacardi 151 out of Tupperware containers because they'd already packed up their cups.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Now to number 9, Purple Nihilism, which is gin, tequila, purple Kool-Aid mix. Jenna Thomas says that drink is one of the few regrets I have in life.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like it.
Then there's a bunch of food. Let's skip ahead here. Number 8, the Possum Vanderbilt, which is Chambord or brandy to cut the Everclear.
Fucking A, man. What was the name of that one?
That's the Possum Vanderbilt.
If I ever start drinking again, that has to be the first one.
Because
one of two things will happen. Either A, I'll be fucking drunk for the rest of my life.
Or he'll die.
Or I'll die.
he's off the wagon. That's what happened.
Right? That's,
I'll be living on the street. That's how you know what happened. I'll be like, hey guys, can I get a ride to the podcast tonight? Probably more like that.
Yeah. All right. Let's get some music for this so we get into the top. Number 7 is the latest technology. It was equal parts Jägermeister and NyQuil.
Ooh.
And Tab, right?
Oh, yes. Tab, Jägermeister, and that doesn't make it better.
Doesn't make it better. Oh, that's what I'm saying. That's fucking just horrible. Nasty.
Number 6 is called the Red Anus.
Yeah.
These again are the saddest desperation cocktails. Things that you just put together because you had nothing else. Sambuca and Code Red.
I love Code Red Mountain Dew too.
I have a Sambuca story. It does not involve me. In college, I had a roommate named Captain Bob. Captain Bob went on to become an RA. But Captain Bob liked to drink Sambuca. At least until one night. When Captain Bob had so much Sambuca that he spent the entire evening in the bathroom throwing up on his shoes.
Ooh.
He did not throw them out. He cleaned them up and continued to wear them. At which point we said, "Hey, Captain Bob, are those your puking shoes?" After a while, he stopped getting mad and just went, "Yeah."
Yeah.
That joke continued for as long as I went to college there. Number five, the Ronald McBombed. It's $6 a bottle gin, flat Mountain Dew, old iced tea, and a McDonald's cup.
Arnold Palmolive.
The Arnie Palmolive. There's some sidebars. We're going to skip those. Let's move ahead. Number four, the Rock Bottom.
Quaalude Chaser.
Quaalude Chaser. It's gin and tab. Number three, the Unemployed Chimney Sweep, which was simply slow gin and tap water.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, that's the saddest drink I've ever heard of in my life. Like, first of all, nobody drinks their bottle of slow gin. That's been in everybody's cupboard. And then they cut it with water because they're like, I need to make it last that much longer.
Right. Oh, or they just couldn't handle the flavor. Number two, Where the Fern Grows, the drink. It's vodka and flat Soda Stream Diet Coke.
Wow. It's not that bad.
He describes it as the perfection of this alcoholic sadness is damn near algorithmic. Vodka and cola is already a bad combination. Make it sadder, Diet Cola. Make it sadder, it's flat. And the worst, the absolute worst. Number one, the absolute fuck ton of bitters in tap water, which is in fact just an absolute fuck ton of bitters and tap water.
Oh, that's a sad, sad drink.
How badly do you need to drink?
Like, especially if you, oh my God. I can't even think, like just to, I mean, if you have no idea what bitters is, if you're listening to this, like, just know that it's the type of thing that if you're at a restaurant with your kid and your kid will only drink ginger ale or has a shitty stomach, you can be like, hey, can you get me a 7-Up with a dash of bitters in it so I can give it to this kid? So, because it tastes just like ginger ale. Like that's... That's what, like, it's like a dash, and that's all anybody ever uses in anything, a dash.
Right. Not a fuck ton?
Not a fuck ton. Like, I'm thinking, like, when he says a fuck ton has to be, like, the whole bottle, because it doesn't even come in big bottles. It comes in, like, a medium Tabasco pot. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I know Saturday night was, it was annoying because it was an open bar. And then, you know, you had to have these couple of people that just had to have, like, fucking drinks that were not open bar drinks. Oh, I need an old fashioned. So, you know, you got one bartender that's over in the corner for like 20 minutes just trying to make this one guy drinks. Like, you fucking fucked hard.
Yeah. Don't order difficult drinks.
Yeah.
If you want to do that, you know where you go? You go to a place like Bottle and Barlow.
Yeah.
Where you've got the bartender who it has the waxed mustache and is there to simply make really ridiculous cocktails. And they have them on the menu.
Yeah. It was like we're sitting there, like, you wonder what's going on with the line. And you get to the front of the line and you see this asshole standing there.
Right.
And you're like, oh, you jerk.
Today's the day I'm going to try this.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, it's a fucking open bar. Just get a Jack and Coke.
Can I just get a fuck ton of bitters? Excuse me, I'd like a fuck ton of bitters.
Excuse me, can I have a Bloody Mary, please?
I'd like a slow gin and tap water.
I'm sorry, can I?
With a fuck ton of bitters.
Do you have any flat diet cola from a soda stream?
Can you imagine?
I want some vodka slow and gin. A flat diet cola. From a soda stream. No. No, I do not want Diet Coke. I want Diet Cola, motherfucker, from a soda stream. And it has to be flat. If it was not in the refrigerator for at least 3 weeks and just sitting in the back of there because nobody wanted to drink it because it was Diet Cola and it was a stupid mistake in the first place, put it with vodka.
They even sell tab in California.
I think I've seen it
you
at
can
Walmart.
Get it sometimes, yeah, you can get it. At
I've
some
seen
place.
I've seen it a couple of times.
I got it as a gag gift, like 2 years ago, I think, a 6-pack of tab, and I drank that shit. I give a
joke's
fuck.
On you, motherfucker.
Oh yeah. Shit!
It's fucking so. Get me the fuck out of here. It's fucking diet soda. Like,
yeah, it's not really that much.
It's nasty ass diet soda.
No, it's not that fucking. Like,
it's just the saccharin.
Do you want to know it's fucking some nasty ass diet soda?
Go on.
I can't even think about it. Like, it's just all fucking nasty. Like, Diet Cola in the first place is fucking nasty.
Tab is so nasty that poor black people don't drink it.
No, man.
That's how nasty it is.
That was because it's
advertised. We wouldn't even drink this shit in the field. Oh, I'm telling you. The white dude that owned the farm, that motherfucker used to order it. I want a tab, a nab, and a honey bun. That motherfucker used to order that shit every day. Yeah, he was the only one.
He deserved whatever he had coming to him. Like, right. I drank the tab, FYI. I drank the tab because I was like, fuck you. I'm going to fucking drink this.
Yeah.
It's not a fucking joke.
Joke's on you. Cop calling motherfucker.
Sad drinking bastard.
It was a little flat. No,
all right. Concert. School's out for summer. Oh, school's out for summer.
June 17th, the Greek Theater at UC Berkeley. Slightly Stupid with special guests, Stick Figure and Pepper. It ain't like I'm asking you to give it up. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Before my cousin like fell into heroin hardcore and became homeless and shit.
Yes,
he played drums. I was Slightly Stupid for a little bit.
Oh,
yeah.
So that was the prelude to.
No, it was like he filled in, but he couldn't. He used to fuck up all the time. I mean, he was addicted to heroin.
Well,
he
yeah, that'll do it. Yeah. That'll totally do it. You know, I'm really trying to launch a bit here, but Spotify really wants to get their ad money in.
That's why I was just trying to, you know.
That's cool. No, it's a good, it's a good little aside. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we're talking about slightly stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not going to have another episode of Dear White Women this show.
We have Dear White Men.
What about Dear White Pussy Men?
Oh, my God.
We're going to talk about one of those anyway.
Yeah,
are we going to talk about that one, dude?
We are. Okay, right after this, hopefully right after this Dell commercial. I didn't know Dell was still a thing.
Oh, yeah, Dell's fucking all out.
What happened to the Dell dude? Well,
didn't replace the woman.
Oh. This comes from North Carolina. And this is from the concourse from Deadspin. If you've ever spent time around people blessed with a particular combination of self-absorption and privilege, this story from Indie Week about a Duke administrator getting two campus baristas fired for daring to listen to rap music while on the job won't really shock you.
Get the fuck out of here.
The story, which Indie Week pieced together through interviews with the two former baristas and a recorded conversation between them and an HR rep, goes like this. Duke Vice President of Student Affairs Larry Mineta walked into Joe Van Gogh, a local coffee shop with a Duke campus location, to order his customary tea and vegan muffin. Fuck you! Fuck you!
Fuck
you!
You.
Fuck you! Fuck you so fucking hard! Why are you going to a coffee shop to get goddamn tea and a vegan muffin? Fuck you!
He's a bitch.
Yeah, he's a fucking asshole.
While waiting in line, he was horrified to hear young Dolphs Get Paid playing over the store's sound system. He immediately told the employee who was ringing up his order, Brittany Brown, a black woman, that he found the song to be offensive. She says she apologized and shut the song off before offering to give him his items free of charge. Minetta insisted that she charge him, and another barista who was there, Kevin Simmons, recalled the scene getting testy. While Brown was working the register, Kevin Simmons, the other barista on duty, was busy making drinks. Simmons had worked there for 3 months and was up for his 90-day review the next week. While pulling shots of espresso, he noticed a man who was upset with Brown. Harassing is definitely a word I would use, Simmons says. He was verbally harassing her. Now, Simmons did not hear what Minetta or Brown said specifically, but he noticed Brown hastily turning off the music and apologizing profusely. Shortly afterward, Minetta left the shop. So you think, okay, it's over. Whatever.
Something tells me that that's not the case, though.
No. He not only objected to the music of Young Dolph, he found the minor inconvenience of being exposed to a few bars of a vulgar rap song so unacceptable that he went and tattled on Simmons and Brown to the school's director of dining services and got them both fired.
They should break in his house and steal all his shit.
So the HR rep told the two former baristas when she asked them that on Monday morning, Brown and Simmons were called into Joe Van Gogh's Hillsborough office and asked to resign. At that meeting, Amanda Wiley from Joe Van Gogh's Human Resources Department told them that they could no longer work at Joe Van Gogh. By the way, fuck Joe Van Gogh.
Yeah, fuck Joe Van Gogh.
We've gotten a call from Robert Coffey of Duke, no pun intended, saying the VP of the university had come into the shop and there was vulgar music playing. Joe Van Gogh is contracted by Duke University, so we essentially work for them, and they can shut us down at any point. Wiley cleared her throat. Duke University has instructed us to terminate the employees that were working that day. Hold one moment. Fuck you! Fuck you with Mike Krzyzewski's shriveled dick. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Because they didn't have to fire them. No. They could have said, you know what, guys? We can't have you working on campus anymore, but we're offering you an opportunity to transfer to another location.
Yeah.
That's how you fucking handle that. And maybe you call them in and go, what happened? Yeah. You don't just go, oh, well, somebody from Duke whose last name is Coffee called very upset that the guy who orders a tea and a vegan muffin was upset.
He's a bitch.
Fuck you. Fuck you. What is wrong with your home state career?
He needs to be punched in the taint.
Ugh.
Yeah, man, fuck that dude.
Anyway.
Oh, my God. I deserves to be fucking castrated.
There's an update. A group of student protesters marched into Minetta's office and made him listen to Get Paid.
I mean...
Kareem, it'll be very heartening to you for you to know that there are several white women marching into his office with signs.
Actually, I changed.
Oh, hold on. He's come out of his office. He came out of his office, and they have signs that say "Fire Minetta," and they're playing "Get Paid" really loudly.
Okay, I take it back. They should be fired for playing that bullshit.
But who knows if it was just like on the radio or Spotify or something?
He should be. They should be fired. Look, they should be fired for playing that bullshit. And he should be fired too.
That's what the kids are listening to. Today,
I don't give two shits. That's some garbage. They should be fired for.
I am not going to disagree. Garbage. I'm not disagreeing.
Should
with
be
you.
Fired for playing garbage.
But that's not fair
for,
to those
not,
kids.
Not for profanity, but for playing garbage. Okay, they should be fired for they should be fired for their musical taste. That's why they should be fired.
Or lack thereof.
Or lack thereof. Yes. Yes.
It's not fair.
That is fair.
It's not fair.
I was on their side until I heard what they were listening to. They should be fired for that shit.
It's just that quick.
They should be fired for that shit.
That quick.
That's what the kids are listening to today.
They all should be fired.
Hey, there was at one point that somebody would have said the same thing about the music you listened to.
No, I never listened to shit like that.
You listen to stuff that people didn't approve of. I guarantee you.
No. There's listening to shit that people don't approve of, and then there's listening to shit.
Hey, I'm not. When I heard who it was that was being played before we even heard the song, I knew I wasn't gonna like it because I know what type of music it is, and it's not.
It's shit. You should be fired for listening to shit.
But
yes. No, they should be fired for listening to shit.
They should not have gotten fired for that.
Yes.
They should not have gotten fired.
Listen, guys, I don't want to fight.
For listening to shit.
Don't want to fight. Here's Alabama Shakes.
Ooh, I like Alabama Shakes.
Meanwhile.
This sounds like a sad drink.
Does. Meanwhile, a Virginia man who was twice spotted sauntering through a park wearing high heels and stockings, but no pants, has been arrested on indecent exposure charges. His name is Jeffrey Battaglia. He's 37. He was observed without pants on two separate occasions in March at Gypsy Hill Park in Staunton, a city about 40 miles from Charlottesville. A male witness reported seeing a man with his genitals exposed, wearing a black hat, black dinner jacket, and high heels. A week later, a female witness also got a look at the private parts of the suspect, who was wearing a black jacket, high heels, and stockings. Police subsequently identified the man, who lives about 7 miles from Staunton, as the pantsless stroller. He was charged with 2 counts of misdemeanor indecent exposure. So fancy restaurants, just because you wear a jacket doesn't make you classy.
No.
Yeah, don't want to fight no more. All right.
I might have to get listen to some Alabama Shakes.
There you go.
Alabama Shakes is good, man.
Okay. So, we all know Alex Jones. We've talked about him on this show before.
Yes.
He's crazy. Or is he?
He's pretending.
Rodney Howard Brown, you might have heard of him. He's a right-wing pastor and conspiracy theorist who laid hands upon and prayed over President Trump at the Oval Office last year. He appeared on Alex Jones' radio program.
Get the fuck out of here.
And he had some words of assurance for Alex Jones. Let's take a listen to that assurance.
And I want to just say this. You know, I feel the Lord's hand of protection is on you. If they were going to take you out, they would have taken you out. They're not going to touch you because of the blood of Jesus that protects you, the angels of God that encamp about you.
He doesn't sound American to me.
No.
Where's the bus? Round that motherfucker up.
Wife, your children, and everything that you touch. So don't get frustrated. Know that the Lord, there's a God in heaven. And, you know, he's about you. He said, I'll be about you as a wall of fire. He
told believe it, I feel it. Yeah. I just feel like I'm doing good enough.
No, Alex is...
I feel the wall of fire every time I go to the bathroom.
Not about that. You're doing your best. Here's the thing. Everybody must do what they can. Everybody does their best. And that, at the end of the day, God takes our best and he multiplies.
Oh, I know. I can feel God's strength. So I just can't believe that other people don't see it.
Yeah, because that's why I'm going to preach the gospel to them so that they can experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit that will energize.
Well, it's like you said, we've got to get glorified bodies. You would feel God.
Ultimately, we'll get there. We don't
know
at this juncture.
But just the edges of it, it's so big. It's like there's no energy even like it. That's why people don't even know.
No,
you know what they sound like? Stoners. They sound like stoners. And not the type that just smoke marijuana. They sound like the type of motherfuckers who drop peyote. They're like, listen,
yeah,
there's this thing, and you can barely touch it, but you can feel it, but you got to get really into it. And that's how it goes. They're about ready to drive out.
The blood of Jesus Christ is upon you, so I know the glad. I know that the hand of God is protecting you because the blood of Jesus. No, that's just my head. I hit it coming in this today.
I can't wait for the hand of God to bitch slap them. Yeah, but again, imagine these are two dudes in Vegas getting ready. They're thinking about going out to the desert and doing peyote. Now, listen.
There's nothing like it. So I want to say this. You know, people, you've been attacked like I've been attacked. But I look beyond all of that. I see. I said, that man, God is using him to wake people up. And that's why I said to my wife, I want to help Alex somehow. That's why I sent the books and all that. I come here. I actually brought a gift for you today. So I collect 45s. So I was given this 45, specially made. This is from the United States Submarine Force.
He's not talking about the little tiny records with a song on each side. No, he has pulled a pistol from his waistband to present to Alex Jones.
Oh, God.
Pride runs deep. It's actually serial numbered. And I wanted to bring you a gift today.
Well, you showed it to me earlier. I'm very honored. Thank you. I know it's unloaded here, but
on the air.
Amazing. Let's get the Dr. McCam shot on this.
A preacher's.
Alex has just turned it 360 degrees, has now set it back on the desk with a thunk, pointed directly at the Reverend. Which, by the way, not the way to safely handle a gun.
No. Giving Alex Jones a 45.
Silent service, dolphin code, and then it's got the double sabers here. Well, God bless you. Thank you. It's a beautiful 45. I can't wait to shoot it.
Yeah, and
Submarine Force 012. Thank you, sir.
I can't wait till the media put that headline up. Preacher brings Alex Jones 45. That's a headline for the mainstream media.
It's a hit line.
Or not.
Headline. He's not good with the English. Actually, the headline on Right Wing Watch is Rodney Howard Brown gives Alex Jones a handgun, assures him he's protected by God. Pretty accurate headline. That's pretty much what we got there.
If you're protected by God, what do you need a gun for?
It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, but then again, I'm not doing peyote in the desert.
Florida, land of enchantment, and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
It could also be dear white women. A Florida woman battered her boyfriend and trashed the couple's home after the beau declined to cuddle because he was too hot. Police responded to a domestic battery call at a Clearwater residence. They encountered Jared Thompson, 24, who had a laceration on the left side of his face. The deputy noted that belongings and furniture were tossed in the living room. Thompson told cops that Christy Misty Mudd, that's her name, Christy Misty Mudd. I shit you not.
Wow.
You're lying.
I'm not. Christy Misty Mudd. His 31-year-old girlfriend, stay away from them older ladies. Wait, my wife's older than I am. But not that much. Not that much. She attacked him and destroyed the residence. She was upset with him because he refused to cuddle because it was hot. It was around 88 degrees in Clearwater when the rebuff occurred. Thompson said Mudd shoved and scratched him while he was standing in the doorway of the couple's bedroom. Mudd, who had the distinct odor of alcoholic beverages on her breath, denied injuring Thompson and claimed that she had been attacked. She had no visible injuries, was judged to be the primary aggressor during the confrontation, and was arrested for domestic battery. After being booked in the county jail on the misdemeanor charge, she was released on her own recognizance in order to have no contact with the victim. Mudd's rap sheet includes prior convictions for battery, theft, and violating probation.
No.
Right? Whoops. And meanwhile, also in Florida, let's get this one from the news. WFT.
Where can you find all the players?
9. Right after this advertisement. I like the fact that the ad muted itself. It was really helpful. It's a bunch of golfers. Titliest. Okay, why am I now I'm mad that I can't hear. Here we go.
As a man punched her and her.
All right, here we go. This is from WFTV9, Orlando.
Right after a deaf pregnant woman says a man punched her and her service dog as their flight landed in Orlando. Well, tonight, the family of the man accused says it was all a misunderstanding. Channel 9's Deanna Albright spoke to both sides involved.
Kids were in tears as chaos broke out between their parents inside the Orlando International Airport. Hazel Ramirez admits her fiancé, Matthew Silva, tackled Timothy Manley in the terminal early yesterday. But she says that was only after Manley punched her service dog. She told police the attack came right after their flight from Colorado Springs landed in Orlando when, quote, the larger service animal took up more space than Timothy felt it deserved. Tonight, I spoke to Ramirez, who is deaf, through a sign language interpreter.
And my fiancé started yelling at the man and said, don't you ever touch our dog. Don't touch a service animal, ever. That's not okay.
In this video, you can see Ramirez and her fiancé respond by signing angrily at Manley. I tracked down Manley's wife. She told me her husband accidentally swatted the dog when it startled him, but couldn't convey that to Ramirez's fiancé. She says her son's video showing Silva kicking her husband in anger on the plane is proof Silva was the aggressor. But Ramirez maintains it didn't escalate with this tackle until Manley punched her in the stomach.
And that's when my fiancé just became furious because he put his hands on me and the kids and the dog.
She says her fiancé was trying to keep everyone there until police arrived, but Manley's family says they never understood that and instead felt they were being held hostage. In Orange County, Deanna Allbritton, Channel 9 Eyewitness News.
I was being held hostage in open space in the airport.
Right. After I hit a service dog and punched a pregnant lady in the stomach.
That's assault. That's two counts of assault.
It really is. And it happened on a plane. So
that's a federal crime.
It's a federal crime. It's a federal crime. Well, there you go. I have some sad news for you. O.J. Simpson is in trouble with the law again. Different one. Oh. It's Orlando J. Simpson. gotcha. I gotcha. What started as a report of people using motorized scooters to run into people at a local store ended up landing two Michigan men in jail. Police were called to Walmart on a report of a disturbance with employees and customers. Now, according to the caller, three adults with a child were driving around the electric handicapped scooters and trying to run into people. When police arrived, the suspects were leaving the store and started yelling and cursing at the police. They were warned about the potential arrest for disorderly conduct, and according to a police report, but they continued to yell and curse, and one gave police an inappropriate sign with his finger.
What would that be?
Finger guns. No.
like a troll around with the finger.
So police initially took Tommy Fritz, who's 33 of Dearborn Heights, into custody. When Fritz was placed in handcuffs, the second man, Orlando J. Simpson of Detroit, allegedly also began yelling and cursing and coming at officers aggressively. According to the report, the woman who was with the child also argued with police, but eventually left. Fritz, according to the police, said he and Simpson had been drinking and were acting stupid.
Apparently.
No shit. Fritz was charged with resisting law enforcement, disorderly conduct, and public intoxication. Simpson charged with interfering with law enforcement, disorderly conduct, and public intoxication. Both were transported to the Porter County Jail.
Porter County!
Listen, O.J. O.J. Simpson. But it is good to see a white guy and a black guy being pals.
Yeah.
Doing stuff together.
Getting arrested together.
Sure. Yelling at the cops together. Yelling at the cops together is really the thing. All right.
Something we can all agree on.
Sure. You know, the trouble really started with scooters at Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's really where the trouble all started. All right, let's.
Oh, is this an updated photo?
No, it is not an updated photo.
This looks extra old today.
No, it's the same one she's had on there for well over a year. Well, let's get to it.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Grand Forks, North Dakota, where Kareem will be visiting soon enough.
Yes.
It's
like a month out.
There you go. Marilyn Haggerty has penned the Eat Beat. Eat Beat, homie hoo-hot.
What the fuck is she saying?
I know this sounds like baby talk for pussy, but I'm pretty sure it's not. Homie hoo-hot.
Okay. That does sound like something you might call some pussy.
It was a losing battle trying to eat my food with chopsticks at Hoo Hot Mongolian Grill. By the way, I went to Makuni. Really tried sushi for the first time.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Did you? What'd you think?
I think it gave my hand cramps trying to use chopsticks.
Honestly, like it's a misconception. You don't need like sushi was created to be a finger food. So, like eating with chopsticks, you don't need to.
That's true, but.
But when in Rome, right?
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it. Les is like, do you want cheaters? And I'm like, no.
No,
I want to fucking make this work.
Let's make it work.
Make it work. Anyway.
Did you like the fish?
Some yes, some no.
All right, we'll talk later.
Tried a few different things. My eat meat companion that day was A.W., Andre Washington, a graduate student at UND. He sort of hinted I might do better with a good old American fork. To me, it didn't matter how I ate the food. What made a difference were the choices I was able to make while moving along the fantastic line of vegetables, fruits, noodles. And then there were meats, including beef, chicken, and pork, and a variety of sauces that make the food. Now, when A.W. and I finished gathering up our choices, we turned our bowls over to the chefs in the center of the large round array of food choices. We watched as they tended to the cooking on the grill.
She's just going to explain to us what we've all experienced, like, that have gone to a Mongolian restaurant?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, well, because not everybody's gone to a Mongolian restaurant.
Doubtful.
I mean, I have, but...
Have you been to one?
Yes.
Okay.
No, she's in North Dakota.
That's why she has to have gone there. There's only, like, six restaurants in the town in the first place.
Well, and I love how she's taking grad students. A.W., She found the one black guy. He's like, Andre, come with me. Come with me.
Actually, she's extremely racist. Andre Washington was an Asian kid. I thought he was Mongolian. I thought I'd take him back for a nice...
Listen, there are a lot of different Asian varieties. I can't be expected to know the difference just by casually looking which is which.
Yeah, no, of course
not. Because, by the way, I think that's really the racist thing to do.
I mean, there's Russians that are Asian looking.
That's because Russia's in Asia.
Yes, Mongolia is on the other side of Russia.
It really is.
And at the very top.
I mean, I can't.
At the very top.
I can't tell a Polish person from a French person just by looking at them. Why should I be expected to do
whichever the same one has the stupid look and the one that's wearing the mime outfit? That's usually Mike.
Genghis Khan did get to France.
You are so racist, Jason. Anyway, sometimes there are a few chefs, other times it takes a team. They whoop and holler and keep life interesting. Many customers go back for second helpings. There's a sort of homey feel about the restaurant. The second trip gives customers a chance to taste something they may have missed. There's also a feeling of space and the choice of booths or tables at Hoo Hot. Large windows bring the world in from the outside, and colorful Asian decor adds interest. And the large parking lot is convenient. If you're unfamiliar, the restaurant opened in Grand Forks in December of 2014. The menu is well designed. Too many restaurant menus are overdone. They do nothing but confuse customers. At Hoo Hot, you can tell at a glance what there is for appetizers, desserts, and how many calories in each. The menu offers appetizers, including Asian pot stickers and crab rangoons.
Oh, you know what, though? You see what that crab is spelled with?
A keg.
Yeah. That's not real crap. Wait, it's just...
That's right. There are salads such as the chicken teriyaki and the Asian salad with mandarin oranges, greens, and toasted noodles. One would hardly need dessert following a meal at Hoo Hot, but I can see stopping in mid-afternoon just for dessert. There's cheesecake and cheesecake-filled rangoons along with Khan's cake. The cake is a chocolate fix with layers of chocolate topped with more chocolate.
Chocolate didn't exist in Asia, ever.
By the way, the manager is Corey Sink. They're open from 11 to 9, Sunday through Thursday.
Are you sure that's not Corey Chink?
I am. With closing Friday and Saturday at 10 p.m. They seat 144. Report card? Chance to create your own meal from a wide choice of vegetables, fruits, noodles, meat. Friendly manager and staff rate an A. Large convenient parking lot is a plus. There you go. A
There you go.
There's your small town news from Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Look at that.
Let's see if we can go there for dinner.
Hoo hot.
Well, Kareem, for reservations, it's 701-757-4171. And you can find the Hoo-Hot Mongolian Grill at 2712 South Columbia Road.
Listen, even though they have 144 tables and booths, definitely want to make a reservation if you're going in on Friday night.
I probably. I mean,
no, it's one of the only six restaurants in Grand Forks. Or Grand Rapids.
Grand Forks.
Grand Forks, that was right. Okay.
Grand Forks, North Dakota. North Dakota. Let's. Oh, let's. I don't want Zillow. God damn it.
God damn it, Zillow.
Oh,
you're trying to see what the median price for a house is.
I'm not. There? I'm really not. I was looking to do like a quick view of the restaurant. Oh my god. Oh, I have to show you guys the website. This is amazing. Stop that. We only have so much time till this song is over and we have to end the show. There it is.
Oh my gosh.
Apparently their mascot is a Mongolian warrior, and they use it as a locator for a map that has no other locations on it. By the way, weekday lunch, $10.99. Weekend and holiday lunch, $12.99. Dinner, $14.29. And we're done.